When we look at our lives, there are people that we meet who have an impact on us, and we have an impact on them. And when we go to the Bible and we look at the Apostle Paul, there are some groups of people that are not, there are no names attached. You know, just the church here or the people there. But there along the way were some people who had an impact on the Apostle Paul, or he had an impact on them. And it reminded me of a book that I read probably, 17 years ago, I guess, about a man, and it said when he died, he went to heaven and he met five different people, and it told the stories of their interactions here before they got to heaven. Interesting book, not an endorsement of it, but just an idea. Well, Paul had some people in his life, and you know, as I looked and examined Paul's life in Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, right after Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus and was converted, and we'll not read all the backstory on it, but it says in verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." So Paul's first Christian friend was Ananias. Remember, Paul, his whole life, or at least since all that we know about him, is that he was against the church and against Christians. And this is the first friend after his conversion. Now, how many of you can look back and think about someone who was a friend to you after you got saved? Can you remember that first friend or somebody that really y'all connected? You know, it's difficult. We go to church and people don't talk to us. We need to talk to people, get to know people. And if you see someone who's sitting alone, especially, you know, at least be friendly. You don't necessarily have to sit with them, but be friendly toward them. I did have someone ask me recently, why doesn't anybody in the church like me? And that's a hard question. It's a harsh question. But it's something, you know, just because that person had that sense, it's important for us to make sure that no one could say that about us. It's important that when people come into this place, that they are welcome, that they are greeted, that they feel loved, and that we're happy for them to be here. You know, it's, I don't know, I haven't examined it, haven't watched, you know, hard to say why that person feels that way, but it's important for us to make sure no one feels that way. Well, Paul, the enemy of the church, is now converted, and Ananias comes in there. And by the way, if you look at it, Ananias didn't want to do this. He said, "God, you know who that is?" God said, "I know who that is. You go do what I told you to do." And Ananias went there, and he loved on Paul, and he blessed Paul, and he called him, what did he call him? He called Brother Saul, right? Right. His name was Saul, Brother Saul. And so he had a Christian friend. And guys, we can never be too good a friend, can we? We need to be friendly with people. They need to know they can turn to us, count on us, talk to us. And so that was Paul's first Christian friend. And I believe each one of us, if our memory reaches back that far, when we think about our salvation, there were people in that church or in our community who loved us in our conversion, in our Christianity. And that's important that we do that also. Now in chapter 9, verse 25, it says the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. So there were some unnamed disciples in Damascus. And as I look back on my life, there are a lot of people I don't remember their names. And somebody will come to me and they say, "You know so-and-so." And I say, I might know their face, but I don't know their name. I don't recognize that name. And there were unnamed disciples who helped Paul. You see what happened? There was a group that said, "We're going to kill him." And so these Christians put Paul in a basket and they led him over the outside wall of the city so that he could escape out of that village. Some unnamed. So there's some people in our lives along the way who have helped us, and we may not even remember who they were. Guys, when we help people, it's not about them remembering us, is it? They don't need to know who we are. In fact, they don't even need to know what church we belong to. Because we act, while we do act on behalf of the church, our mission is to act on behalf of Christ. We represent God. And so just love people, and it doesn't matter if they come to church or don't come to church. Well, we're serving God. And we're not just trying to be a good person, be good Christians so that they'll come to church. We want them to know our God. We want them to know our Savior. And so that was one of the things I noticed here about Paul. And then verse number 27, Barnabas took him and brought Paul to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas, he's the one who vouched for Paul, right? That term we use, he vouched for him. He said, I'll put my reputation on it. You ever done that for somebody? I don't necessarily recommend co-signing a loan, but when you co-sign a loan, that's what it is. You're saying, if they're not good for it, I'll be good for it. We see Paul doing that, remember, with Onesimus. When he wrote to Philemon, he says, look, put it on my account. If he messes up, you put it on my account. If he owes you anything, you claim it from me. He vouched for him. Barnabas did that for Paul. And we all need somebody who will stand up for us, especially when we're first beginning in ministry. People don't know who we are. But Barnabas introduced him. It's so important. If you come into church and there's a guest and you meet them, it's so important that you say to people, hey, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. And introduce them to at least one other person so that they won't feel like a stranger. They'll feel welcome. Now, I know that what Paul's talking about here, what Luke is writing about Paul, it wasn't about a church building or a church service. It was about his ministry and his life. But Barnabas took Paul and he said, guys, this is my friend. So if you love me, you love him. If you have confidence, you have confidence in him. Now, Paul was the enemy of the church, and people knew that. They were scared of him. And Barnabas said, guys, his past is his past. He's not that way anymore. You know, there are a lot of people. And I know that we like to think that our past is in the past. Well, everybody does. Once our sins are forgiven, don't bring up the past. Don't bring up what they used to be or what they used to do. Leave it behind. Barnabas says, look, you take him in as if he's me. You count on him. And Barnabas, if you go to chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. This was an ordination. They were going to be missionaries. And who did God put together? Barnabas and Saul in Acts 13, verse 2. So Barnabas was not only that friend who introduced him to others, but he became his ministry partner, his visitation partner. It's good when you go on visitation, you have somebody to go with you, isn't it? Y'all like that? Sometimes it's a husband and wife, but sometimes it's a brother and another brother, a lady and another lady, and we go out and we see people, visit with people. That's good. And Barnabas was Paul's ministry partner, his visitation partner. And I encourage that. Encourage you to have somebody that you can go with, that can go with you. And you can have fellowship on the way to your visit, and then the two of you can fellowship on during that visit. And then verse number 5, chapter 13. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue to the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. Now, this is John Mark. We remember John Mark in the home where the church was meeting. You know, they didn't have church buildings. They met at people's houses. And one of those house churches was John Mark's house, his family's house. And he's now joined the ministry and gone with Paul and Barnabas on visitation, on mission. He's traveled with them, and they've gone to an island. And so when we think about the people in our lives, you know, we think about Ananias, and that was that first Christian friend, the unnamed disciples. There was a bunch of Christian friends, but just short-term friends. And then Barnabas, who was his ministry partner, visitation partner, his mission partner. I mean, they were travel companions. And then there's John Mark. John Mark was the first backslider Paul knew. He was. He was the first backslider. What does backslide mean? It means you got involved and you wanted to serve God and you got full force into it, and then it didn't take long till you were sliding back. Backsliding. You gave up. You quit. And John Mark did that. He quit. And sometimes that can have a big impact on us, can't it? When we see someone who's been, they really seem to be on fire for God, and all of a sudden, they're not even in church anymore. They're not even participating. And that was the first backslider that Paul knew, was John Mark. But I do want to tell you the rest of the story in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Paul said, bring Mark with you. We're not going to turn there yet. Bring Mark with you. He's profitable to me in the ministry. So there was forgiveness. There was some makeup. In fact, I don't have it outlined here, but when Paul was about to go on another missionary journey with Barnabas, John Mark wanted to go again. And Paul said, he's not going with me. He's dead weight. And that's when they split. And sometimes God can use those conflicts for good, because Barnabas took John Mark and they went one way, and Paul took Silas and they went another way. So it's not always a bad thing when we have a falling out. But that was the first backslider that Paul was introduced to. And you know, it's remarkable, somebody who hated the church as much as Saul did before his conversion, to be so disappointed by someone. Guys, Paul's impression, or his faith was that when we believe in Jesus, we ought to be all in. If we're going to be Christians, we ought to be Christians all the time. If we make a commitment, we ought to keep it. That was Paul's feeling. He was just so offended that John Mark would go back. And so he wasn't going to go with him on another journey. And then we come to chapter 15, verse 36, at the end of that discussion we've already mentioned. In verse 36, some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Paul thought it not good to take him with them. And verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder one from another. Barnabas took Mark, sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren. So we see Silas, who is another ministry partner. Guys, we don't just quit because we have a disagreement with our ministry partner. We don't quit God because we get mad at somebody in the church or they get mad at us. We keep faithful to God. Now, I can understand if we have a falling out and you don't like me, and so one of us goes to a different church. I can understand that. But if you just get mad and drop out of church, you're wrong. You're wrong. Now, sometimes we have disagreements. I'm glad that we can have disagreements and still be family. I'm glad you never argue with your wife, you never argue with your kids or your husband. Sometimes I'm around people and they fight so much, I wonder how they can stay together. But you know, it shouldn't take so little to get us out of church. I'm glad that in a contention, Barnabas was able to still continue in ministry and Paul was able to continue in ministry. Our ministry partners, our mission partners, our visitation partners may change, but we shouldn't quit God. And so Silas became Paul's second ministry partner. And then in chapter 16, verse 1, he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. And so we're introduced to Timothy. Timothy became the protege of Paul. Paul would mentor him. Timothy would become a pastor. In fact, two of the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy are included in the New Testament. So we talked about that first friend, some unnamed friends, ministry partners, backsliders. And now there's somebody that Paul is specifically training. Let me just say this. We're experiencing a shift right now in this church with people who are moving. And that's great. You know, they're not leaving the church. They're leaving the state. And in effect, that's too far to drive back, right? But there's some people got to step up, because we got to get some Sunday school teachers. We've got to get some nursery workers. We've got to get some helpers. If people don't step up, we're going to have to change the way we do things. That's it. You know, we grow comfortable because people take on these positions and they stay in those positions for so long. But there's a shift happening. And we're either going to have to change the way we do it, or we're going to have to get some workers to step up. And that means, and particularly, we need younger workers. Nothing against older workers. But we need some people who get involved. Too many people, and I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd here, but maybe somebody's watching online. Too many people want to come to church and receive and not give. And I'm not talking about the offering plate. I'm talking about ministry. And then you've got people who come and that's all they do is give, give, give. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the people who give so much. But we have got to train the Timothys. We've got to get this next generation involved in actual ministry, serving and teaching. And I understand that teaching scares people. Oh, I don't know enough to teach. That's why we have Sunday school quarterlies. And the story's in there, and you can read it, and you can read your Bible, and it's a small text to teach every week. You know, you don't have to teach all 66 books every week. Just teach a chapter or two. And you can prepare that week, and you can teach the class. These kids need teachers. And that means that somebody's going to have to step up. And I appreciate, again, those who do so much. But Timothy became Paul's protege. He taught him. Paul taught him how to be a Christian, how to be a minister, how to be a preacher, how to be a pastor. Yes, he was called. Paul didn't call him into ministry, but Paul trained him. We've got a young man now who's come to me and he said, I want to preach. I want to learn how to preach. I want to be a preacher. And I'm not talking about a kid. I'm talking about a man. And so I'm working with him, and it's not an overnight process. It's a process. But it's exciting to see young men wanting to preach and wanting to pastor and wanting to get involved. That's fantastic. And so pray for him, and I'll not tell you who he is till he's ready to say that. But look at our lives. Now, let me ask you a question. Who have you trained? Who did you bring up in faith? Who have you trained to fill your shoes? Because the reality is, at some point, we're not going to be here. Now, maybe it'll be that we all go together in the rapture. I think that's a wonderful idea. And I believe it's a possibility. But so far, everybody thought it was a possibility, like including my grandmother who passed away, you know, I don't know, 25 years ago. Her best friend was mad at God. God was supposed to rapture her. Well, she'd be old now if she hadn't gone to heaven already. But I'd like to think that we'll be raptured, but guys, we got to prepare that we're not. We got to be ready to go today and prepared that we're not going to go. We've got to train the next generation. We've got to raise up some workers in our church. And so I say that to the Sunday night crowd, and I'll repeat it Sunday morning. How's that? Chapter 18. And I look at my life, and I see the Ananias, the Barnabas, the Silas, even the John Mark and the Timothy. I see those people in my life. And then I see in chapter 18 this other, in verse number 2, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And Paul was a tent maker, and he joined himself to this couple, and he went to work. He worked for them, and they made tents together. But what interests me is that there's a Christian couple in his life. You see, we never see Paul as a husband or a father in the earthly sense. And so here's a single man who's traveling with ministry partners along the way. But there's this couple who he attaches himself to. They get attached. And I look back on my life, guys, I could take it to the families like that. Who in my life, those couples, you know, I sat at their table. I sat in their living room. Sometimes even slept over in their guest room. But we need Christians that are willing to kind of adopt these single people and help them understand what a Christian family should be. how Christian couples should act. We see so much. It's hard today. I have people in for when they're going to get married. They come in and we have counseling. And, of course, the problem is it doesn't matter what I'm counseling. They always agree with everything I say. Oh, yes, 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 yes. And they go out and do what they want to do anyway, even when it's wrong. And so you can't teach somebody what marriage is about in a couple of hours. It's a lifelong, and it's something we have to see. And I appreciate Aquila and Priscilla showing Paul what family in the Christian faith is. And so I can see the Aquila and Priscilla in my life. Chapter 20 and verse number 4. There accompanied him to Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius of Derbe, Timotheus of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. Now, we don't have a lot of story of some of those guys, but the point is, as Christians, we make friends along the way. We have 190 members of this church. Right? Look around you. And I pray for each one of those members. Some of them we haven't seen in years. As their pastor, it's my responsibility to pray for them. As their brother in faith, it's my privilege to pray for them. Those are some friends along the way that we don't see anymore. Some have moved away. Some have just dropped out. But I see in Paul's life, there's some people that touched his life. He named some here. They're not still with him necessarily. But they had an impact. And he considers them friends. We could go on and look at all of this. And one that's not mentioned because he's the writer of the book is obvious, Luke. And as I was studying, I was looking back. And in these chapters, it talks about Paul. It talks about all these people. But in chapter 20, or actually in chapter 16, there's a shift in the way that Luke writes it. Because then he starts to say, we did this. Us. It's no longer they or he. And so we see where Luke became part of this ministry and traveled with Paul. If you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll finish up. That's page 1281 if you have a Scofield Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I look at the people in our lives. Some are part of the church. You know, I have friends that aren't members of this church. Hard to imagine, right? I have friends. I have pastor friends. I have pastor friends that are not even part of our association. You know, I have pastor friends. And we're friends. I love them and they love me. But there are friends in our lives that make a difference in our faith. They help our faith. And we help theirs. The final note we have here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 9. Let's start there. Paul writing to Timothy said, do thy diligence to come shortly to me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and is departed to Thessalonica. You see, John Mark was the first backslider Paul knew, but he wasn't the last. Demas has forsaken me. Demas quit. You see, Demas was a preacher. He was a minister. He was a missionary. But he had enough and he quit. He loved the present world more, it says. He goes on and he says, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Now, understand that those men went for ministry. They were separated from Paul, but they were serving the Lord. And then look at this phrase. Only Luke is with me. in our lives, we're going to find some friends who will stay to the end. Those are the kind we love, are they? The kind we can count on. The ones that will be there. The ones that will answer no matter what. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. In fact, the Bible also says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know that sometimes the burdens we carry, we're the only ones that can. But if there's a chance that there's a handle on the other side of that burden you're carrying, turn to your friends. Let's trust in each other. Let's help them and let them help us. I know sometimes they can't. There's nothing that they can do. But if they can, let them. Because how else are we going to be able to bless you? Let's be mindful and considerate of those in our lives. And probably if we had testimony time, you could give me some names of the Ananias, the Aquila, the Priscilla, the Barnabas, the Silas, the Timothy. And maybe some stories about some unnamed disciples. I don't remember who they are, but they, you know, put me in a basket and let me over the wall. Read that story and you might take away from it that there were some people who held the line when you were a basket case. Amen. We all need somebody to hold the line when we're a basket case. But whatever we do, let's not be the ones that forsake and quit and give up. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We're thankful for the time we've had to look at Paul's life and his friends, and maybe in the midst of that sermon to reflect on some friends we've had that shared their faith, that shared our faith, that worked alongside of us as we ministered together. And I pray that we will be strong in our faith, good friends, strong friends, and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.